techno progressive. You are listening to Techno Progressive on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver.
Welcome to Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh, and you're listening to 101.9 CITR in Vancouver. I'm proud to work and live on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. Ski Tour are tonight's interview feature as they get ready for a Vancouver gig in May, and we will get to that shortly. But first, let's check out this episode's track of the week. Spanish producer Angel Heredia serves up a classy slice of tech house. This is Get Down. We'll be right back. A great track of the week there, Get Down from Angel Heredia. That is out now on Boris's Transmit Recordings, a label that always delivers the goods and can be had wherever you buy your music. On to the feature for tonight's episode, Whistler's Ski Tour will be at Celebrities on May the 12th as part of their Fall into Winter Tour. Here we talk production, DJing at 10,000 feet, and their latest release on Mousetrap. Full track listing and a selection of Ski Tour web links can be found at Technoprogressivo's Facebook page. Too Hot, Too Cold kicks off the interview. This is Ski Tour. This is DJ Wah speaking to Tim and Dave, collectively known as Ski Tour. This BC-based duo have been producing and DJing for over a decade. With releases on Westwood, East Van Digital, and their own Double Black Recordings, they've clearly made a mark on the scene and have a warranted reputation for their DJ sets. Collaborations alongside Dances with White Girls, Funk Hunters, and Small Town DJs round out their resume. They've played all over North America, are a staple of the Shambhala Music Festival, and find themselves currently in the midst of the Falling into Winter Tour, which has them playing 46 dates over 5 months. They'll be here in Vancouver at Celebrities on Friday, May the 12th, and that's what we're here to talk about tonight. So, kicking things off, how would you currently define your sound, and would you say it's evolved or shifted over time?
I would define our sound as fun, upbeat house, generally, pretty accessible, and we definitely keep it on the funkier side, not too heavy, fun, upbeat house.
Okay, and then for both of you here, can you tell me what your early exposure to electronic music was and where were you finding that? Was that something that you were getting enough of in Whistler? Or were you having to travel places? And then can you think of maybe some clubs or DJs that really impacted you at that period of time?
Yeah, originally I'm from New Zealand and I was big into hip-hop music there. And there was a lot of DMC champion DJs that were coming through that kind of got me very into the DJ side of things. And then that kind of went into drum and bass and then house all at the same time. So it was like Ian Pooley and then drum and bass guys like DJ Markey and Concord Dorn and all these. I was kind of like taking it all in at the time. And then by the time I got to Whistler, I was pretty still into drum and bass mostly. And then once I met Tim, we started playing. He was more house and I was more of the other stuff. And then he introduced me to a bunch of house stuff. And that was kind of like where I kind of really dove into the house genre.
Okay, then once you had connected, can you tell me what the experience of trying to establish yourself and build up your reputation was like? And during that whole process, was there a moment when you realized that this was no longer a hobby and it had become a legitimate career for both of you?
Yeah, well, I used to host a weekly DJ night in Whistler and brought in a bunch of guest DJs every week. And I met Rolly. He's playing some Ian Pooley at the ballpark cooking hot dogs there. And I was like, man, I've never heard anyone play this track before. You should come DJ with me and we'll see how it goes. Tommy Africa is here next week. And so he came and DJed the night with me and we went to line up the same song to play like maybe 10 times that night. And it's like, hey, have you ever tried making music? And he's like, yeah, I've done a bunch. I was like, well, let's jump in the studio. And we wrote a track, posted on SoundCloud, and somehow got signed to some label without any promo or anything. And when it got released on some tiny downloads, that it was the number one track for about 5 weeks. And I was like, well, this is crazy. Maybe we should just keep doing this. And just kept setting littler goals, like tiny goals for ourselves, like our one goal for a couple of years was to play Shambhala Music Festival. And then that happened. We kind of got like a pretty bad time slot, like five, like I think it was noon on a Saturday. And then next goal we set was like, we want a better time slot. And things just kept going and progressing and progressing. And it, honestly, it's just been every goal we've set, we've surpassed. And it just keeps like snowball here. It's like an avalanche. It just keeps going.
Okay, let's shift gears over to production here. What is the DAW that the two of you work with and why? And within that DAW, are you generally using external VSTs, internal VSTs, and possibly external hardware?
We use Ableton and we use in-the-box and out-of-the-box stuff, I guess. There's lots of go-to things that I use that we are in the box, but then there's a lot of other things that we use out of the box, like install in the box, like different VSTs for sure. Well, like the FabFilter stuff I use constantly, you know.
Okay, and then how do the two of you approach making tracks? Do you have ideas in your head before you begin, or do you generally sit at the computer and see what that leads to? And even in the collaborative process there, are there certain elements that one of you is better than the other, and how do you make that all come together?
We work collaboratively. I mean, we start tracks all those different ways with ideas, sometimes from scratch, sometimes with a vocal sample or whatever. And I would say maybe I'm more like the melody, bass line stuff, and Dave's more percussion.
Let's jump over to DJing here. When you guys are mixing live, are you generally using CDJs or some other platform, and why?
Yeah, we've used it all. I mean, we right now on Rekordbox with CDJs, but for a long time, Rolly was on Serato with turntables and I was on CDJs with Traktor. So we've tried it all. Yeah.
got that shit that keep you up. Got that bass up in the trunk. Got that shit that keep you up. Got that bass up in the trunk. Got that shit that keep you up. Little something in my cup, I mix it with a little liquor when I slide through. Got that shit that keep you up. Got that bass up in the trunk. I push my foot down on the throttle, then I ride through. Then I ride through.
And for your DJ sets, do you plan certain things out in advance, or are you confident and comfortable enough just to read the floor and play that way?
We generally have an idea of what we want to do just to get things going, and then probably halfway through we kind of, but depends on how long we're playing for as well. Like if it's only a very short set, like under an hour, it will be pretty planned out, and then anything over like 2 hours is pretty loosey-goosey kind of thing.
We find that just because it's two people, we find that planning stuff out for the beginning helps a lot because it kind of creates the vibe. Otherwise, like we could be going in two different directions sometimes. So that definitely helps us out a bit. But you're definitely able to switch stuff on the fly if it's not working on the dance floor. Down that blue to blue.
Magazine from CITR has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day. Pick up a copy around Vancouver or with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
You are listening to the Ski Tour interview here on Techno Progressivo. Blue Caboose wrapped up the first half of the interview, and Senior Mafia gets things rolling in the second part. Full track listing and a selection of Ski Tour web links can be found at Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Let's check out more Ski Tour. Okay, and then something else I'm curious about when you are mixing together, are you going just back to back on one another's tracks, or are you hopping in on tracks and making cuts and things like that? How do you approach that?
Yeah, that's generally, we do that just all the time. We normally just play like two tracks each, and yeah, that just continues on. Okay. If it goes into the unplanned territory, which it normally does as well, and then we just, I don't know, there's, yeah, that's,
yeah, we've played up to like, I don't know, 4 or 5 hour sets sometimes. It's crazy. Yeah. We're ready to go all night.
here in Vancouver on Friday, May the 12th at Celebrities. What can clubgoers expect from your set that night?
We try and play quite a few of our own productions in the set. And then almost every track that we play has been edited. Yeah, it will just be high energy, upbeat, fun, accessible dance music.
I like going out all night, see me dancing in the lights. I can't help but move my feet when I listen to that beat. I like to party with my friends, we go dancing on weekends.
Okay, taking a look at your gigging history at large or the fall into winter tour that you're currently on, have there been any events in all of that that have really stood out for you as monumental, and what made those so special?
Well, there's quite a few, I'd say. Do you want to start rolling here?
We did a big competition in Jackson Hole and way up on the mountain. We were 10,000 feet above sea level, which was pretty amazing. And it was a competition we've both had our eye on watching for years. And so we got to play that and get
the Kings and Queens of Corbett. So it's a ski and snowboard competition with 10 athletes, 10 male, 10 female, all competing. And it's kind of cool because they actually judge the event, but we're DJing up there on the back of a snowcat while all the action was happening in front of us, which is pretty cool.
And then is your set basically a soundtrack to that entire race?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. And then we played a club show as well in Jackson Hole, which was really good.
Yep. Amazing, like selling out our first time playing indoors there. And we've sold out like our first time in Steamboat. We sold out in San Francisco, Denver, like a bunch of American cities for the first time. And then pretty much I think every Canadian date has sold out. And then we also, I think another one that I've really enjoyed playing was up in Alaska. It was the furthest north we've ever played. We played up there for a winter festival, and it was, yeah, it almost sold out. It was almost like, I think almost 700 people there. It was pretty rad going to a new place to play.
Flip side of that, if you feel like sharing it, have you ever had a gig go horribly wrong for you?
We played a show at Whistler Blackcomb this year when the staff arrived, and somehow they just didn't line things up. They didn't allow them to sell any booze, and there was a huge delay between us playing and the band was playing before us. And by the time they finished tearing down the band, like pretty much half the crowd had left, and like towards the end of our set, maybe there was 10 people. It was minus 20 outside and no booze, and everyone just kind of filtered on out. That was pretty excruciating.
Yeah, it was like they had free food, and there's all these food trucks around the perimeter, so they all came for the free food, and then pretty much waited in line for like an hour to get their food, and then so everyone was just cold and no one really wanted to party. It was just, what did you call it, the Benjamin Button of DJ sets?
Yeah. Would have looked good in reverse.
Disco dancing, so much disco dancing. Let's go disco. Let's go disco dancing. So much disco. So much so much disco dancing.
Okay, and then let's think about inspiration here. Can either of you think of one or two tracks that really inspired you at the beginning of all this? Or can you also think of one or two DJs or producers whom you really admire and why?
Yeah, I mean, I really loved like the 90s, like Propeller Heads and Chemical Brothers, Crystal Method, yeah. But that was my inspiration back in the day. But these days, there's so many great producers out. I mean,
small town DJs are a big influence.
Huge influence for sure, yeah. And in 2007, it was my second time at Shambhala, and watching them DJ in the Fractal Force was when I decided I was not going to come back to Shambhala until I got booked to play. I was like, man, these guys are playing tunes I love. I know most of these. I'm going to teach myself to DJ and get booked to play Shambhala. So yes, the small town DJs definitely are huge influences and mentors for us as well. Great guys. We'll be right back.
And then what is your vision for yourself, both in production and DJing, as you continue to go forward?
I guess just keep learning. I'm just with the Ableton, it's always, as every day is, another learning curve, and keep collaborating with people because we just learn so much. Collaborate with people, it's so good. So we have a new collab coming out on House Trap.
Yeah, coming out April 29th, Deadmau5's House Trap label, which we're pretty excited about. And that's a collab with our buddy End2End from Brooklyn. He did the vocals, and yeah, it's just great to get a track on a solid label like that.
This has been Ski Tour. A selection of their tracks can be found at Beatport, Apple Music, Spotify, Juno Download, and Bandcamp. As well, a full list of Ski Tour web links can be found on the Techno Progressivo Facebook page. Remember to check them out at Celebrities on Friday, May the 12th, and tickets for that can still be found online. Thank you both very much for doing this.
slip and slide. A stack of records here, a stack of records there. I got records scattered all over everywhere, but I'm looking.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting independent music for over 30 years, and it keeps on living by joining efforts with local music supporters such as Vinyl Records. You can find a selection of Vinyl Records' featured albums on the back cover of Discorder and can support your favorite local bands and artists by purchasing their records. For more information on their vast selection of new, used, and rare music, go to vinylrecords.ca.
We are all done for another episode of Techno Progressivo. Thank you so much to Ski Tour for agreeing to interview. Things are definitely turning in the right direction for them. Full track listing and a selection of their web links can be found at Techno Progressivo's Facebook page, so head over there to find out more about the minds behind the music. If you like what you heard, remember to check them out live at Celebrities on Friday, May the 12th, and tickets for that can still be found online. If you've enjoyed the show and want to give it another spin, head over to the Techno Progressivo show page at citr.ca or Apple Podcasts to check this one out or more great guest mixes and interviews from days gone by. Keep up to date with Techno Progressivo. Follow our socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Attic Jams is up next on the station, so stick around to see what they've got in store for you tonight. Before we go, let's do as we always do and set the controls in the time machine for this episode's Track from the Past. For this one, let's jump back 26 years in time to 1997 for a beauty from the Chemical Brothers. This has an absolutely amazing bass line. It's Dig Your Own Hole. Enjoy this, and I will see you back here next time.